What's up? This is Keith.
Hey, this is Ari.
This is Kim.
And this is Relationship X Religion Podcast.
All right, y'all. So we are just going to go ahead and go into our next episode. But let us let you know about what we talked about our previous episode on misconceptions of being perfect. So previously we talked about being perfect as a Christian and the things that we put on people and how they're supposed to act as a Christian to represent Christianity. But this time around, we're going to talk about perfection as far as religion goes and the church. When it comes to the church, it's not necessarily what the church itself puts on us, but what religion and the acts of being a Christian put on us and tell us to do, because God doesn't require us to be perfect, but the things that are placed on us as far as attending church can affect what we think it is, what it means to be perfect in the church.
So generally we always blame the church. People are quick to blame the church for honestly a lot of things that happen. But truth be told, if it's a true Bible based church, then we really can't blame the church. It's more so the people of the church and their mindsets and what they've been taught, as opposed to the church in general. However, the church does need to take a stance, and there should be some grace as to how we're treated, how we're looked at, because again, like we said in the last one, we're not perfect. We're chasing perfection. We're chasing perfection as followers of Christ, because we're trying to be Christ-like. However, we know we always fall short often. Also, the church is often looked at as a hospital as opposed to actual church, where people just go get refilled, refreshed, and not just a place for the sick. It's not just a place that you come to when bad things are happening. Like, church is what you do and where you go to. It's a place that you go to grow your relationship with God.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a lot of things we, like you said, we could blame the church for. Like, most of the time, like I had to deal with this, because I would see pastors or preachers doing stuff and I blame the whole church, because that's their leader and people follow their leader. So I would blame the whole church and be like, oh, see, that's why I don't go to church, because of that. And I wasn't realizing that churches mess up. People mess up. Like I said, church isn't perfect. And that aspect of religion isn't perfect. Religion will never be perfect. Mm-hmm. Because we're imperfect beings. So I had that illusion that the religion, because of the things that they do and the structure that they had, that it was perfect. Like, you got to think about everything that you do in this world is not, you write a paper or you write a letter or, like, everything that you do is not perfect.
Right.
I have never, maybe somebody can or do or whatever, but I have never seen something done perfectly.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think like a lot of that comes from the fact that we read the Bible and we read about, you know, the Old Testament church and how there were so many things you had to do to be right with God. There were so many things that the acts that we had to perform. Thank God we don't have to do those anymore.
I was just about to say, like, Lord, I wouldn't have made it.
Like, coming out of Leviticus, like, the things that we had to do to be right with God as far as the church. First of all, understanding that was the time that God was, that was where he was at that time.
Yeah.
This was pre-Jesus.
Right.
This was what he required of us in order to have relationship with him, to show that we were pointed towards him.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God, once again, we don't have to do that anymore.
Right.
But that's what was required at that time. And I think that some of that has carried over as a part of religious acts, as a part of the church, that make this idea of what the perfect church is. And not doing, you know, we ain't cutting no goats in church.
Yeah,
but
we definitely ain't cutting no goats.
Listen, I can't even cut up a chicken.
I ain't about to catch. I'm not, I don't like, All right, we're gonna get back to subject because I go.
Y'all, we sorry. We go to the left a lot. We sorry.
Yeah, but that, like she was saying, like that whole Leviticus thinking or the Old Testament, because like you got to understand that time period. That's when we were created. God was like, okay, like I'm gonna see if my people can do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm gonna give them the opportunity, and these people were like at that time they were a lot closer to God,
mm-hmm. right? Versus like the access,
right. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like they were a lot closer. Like you won't do something right, God will kill you right then and
there. Right. Look, the earth will swallow you up.
Right. So, what more motivation to me?
Listen.
To not do anything wrong. If you could strike me down right now,
right,
right,
that should be all the motivation in the world to be like, okay, I'm gonna do the right thing. But did they? No.
No.
Okay.
No.
But then he gave them opportunity
to get it right.
Right. Yep. Go outside of this town for 7 days.
Right.
Cleanse yourself. Look, don't talk to nobody. Don't look at nobody.
God told him, go to that city and think about what you did. Think about what you did, then come back. Then see if you know how to act after that.
And it still ain't worked.
It's
generational. Like, yeah. I hate saying generational curses, but it is.
That's
like,
biblical. The sins of the father.
Yeah. It follows us. If you read the Bible, you really, you be like, dang, that's why I act like that.
But not even that, too. God told the people, especially, particularly in when they did the Exodus, that every year at this time, you are to have a feast, and you are to tell your family, you are to tell your children what happened, what I did.
Mm-hmm.
And if you notice, when they stopped doing that, that's when they started to get all the different gods of the mm-hmm. other lands that they were supposed to kill and they were supposed to destroy. But that's when they started to really embrace the other cultures.
All right. And so I think that's why, like you said, the church tried to
carry on.
Yeah, they tried to carry on. They tried to. It's one of those things where you try to overcompensate,
right?
And so when they overcompensated, it's like, okay, we're going to be perfect or give the illusion of perfection,
mm-hmm. right?
Like, because you're not perfect, yeah. So it's like we're going to give the illusion of perfection so we can pull people in. That's what they thought it was,
mm-hmm.
and it's like you're not pulling people in. Like, I mean, well, put it like this. For, because we're a new generation, the new generation isn't going for that perfection, yeah. because we done seen so much that's gone wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We know better,
right? The older generation, it was one of those things where, hey, this is what you're saying. You know what I'm saying? Like, we haven't seen as much, but now as you see, like some of the elders and stuff like that, they have seen the imperfections in church. Mm-hmm. But when they were children, you got to think about it. They didn't see the imperfections,
right?
Like, I think when we keep looking back on things, we think that it never is not a changing thing. Like everything is evolving, everything is changing. So, as we get older as a church, you got to understand. Like, even if you start now, you start to see elders that don't care about the dress code mm-hmm. and stuff like that because mm-hmm. they understand mm-hmm. a little bit more about the culture.
Right. Yeah,
I understand that the church
to meet people where they're
right for a time as this. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like you have to keep you have to keep evolving with the times.
Yeah,
right. That's good.
Yeah, I definitely like feel like we've carried that on so much from Leviticus mm-hmm. through the generations. That it's changed and evolved over time, but in this manner of we, the church, have to have this perfect appearance
right.
to the people to make them feel like when you come in here, you are to be this way. Mm-hmm. And then it goes back to what you said earlier, is what is the purpose of the church then?
Right.
If this is supposed to be this perfect place, yeah. then we all ain't supposed to be in there. Right. Like, nah, well, if that's the case.
Like, all of us are work a sculpture, a work of art. Yeah. Like, you have to keep working at it. So that's the thing.
Chiseling
like,
away.
Right. If the sculpture or the statue is perfect, then why do you need to keep forming? If that rock, put it like this, if the rock is perfect, then why do you need to turn it into something else? So I know I'm trying to preach, but that's the thing. Like, you gotta understand. Like, we're all work. And that, yeah. But some, like the church, I think, at, like I said, in the older days or the back in the day, I'm trying to figure out the right word, but it was one of those things where you kind of, I hate to say it, but you kind of scared people mm-hmm. into being closer yeah. to God. Like, you do that, God ain't gonna like you. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. it was a scare, but it worked.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, like, as the church has transformed over the years, it's like these requirements that you have to meet in order to be
yeah.
a part of the church. The yeah. dress code, the speaking of tongues.
Yeah.
The way you serve. But all of these requirements that have come into place in order to be a part of the church.
Right.
And like that goes into this religious kind of culture that we've created in order to represent what perfection is as the church. And that scares people away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, people don't want to feel like I have to be perfect. I have to, if I come into this environment, I have to be perfect.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And this is like this, I'm gonna say this, cause this is what I kind of got this revelation out of this. And I was like, the thing about like that scare tactic preaching, well, I don't want to say scare tactic, like that style of preaching, the brim and mm-hmm. the hailstone and all of that. If you think about it, back in the day, you had households that had a mother and a father mm-hmm. and then you or the kid. And as a preacher is preaching, he's preaching God, your father.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have a father in your household, and you see, okay, my father's mad at me at one point, but he still gives me stuff. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. My father still take care of me. My mm-hmm. father does this, he does this. But now in this type of like it worked back then because they seen what a father actually was. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? Like they seen my father can be mad at me or I can do wrong, but my father will still love me.
Mm-hmm.
But in this generation, there's a lot of households or it's a generation of we don't really have the father figure in the house.
Right.
And so we don't know the difference between my father being mad at me, but still taking care of me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, or still like having that love for me no matter what. Like I could be mad at my daughter, but at the end of the day, she gonna get whatever she wants and desires.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, and that's like I want to keep that concept in her head. Like, no, I'm your father, and I'm gonna be here no mm-hmm. matter. Like, you can mm-hmm. get on my last nerves. You could do, honestly, you could do no wrong in my eyes, and that's the mm-hmm. way God sees all of us.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't see, like nowadays, you don't see that,
right?
Because either your father has to work all the time and you barely see him, or just the father not being there. Period.
Right.
But that was, I think, that's how that Leviticus actually worked back then.
Because, representation.
Yeah, that representation, because you heard about God's wrath. You heard about how God can actually, what God can do to you. But it was like,
it was, you see these materialistic things, you see these other guys as an opportunity to get what you want out of it. You see these other guys is the opportunity to not be obedient, to not be under my guidance.
Mm-hmm.
And that has affected my relationship with you. So now I have to put these rules in place in order for you to get it. And then these rules carried on into religious acts that became, oh, this is what I have to do to be a part of the church, to be a part of God's family. But that's never what it was supposed to be.
I was supposed to become a religious aspect of it. And that's the religious thing, just it kills it, because you honestly, if you can't it's almost like religion almost outweighs the relationship, because mm-hmm. the religious sets the standard, the rules of it. So, like, if I wanted to have a sister-brother relationship with Ari, but the church as a religious piece says, oh, I can't talk to you because mm-hmm. of the appearance of it,
mm-hmm.
then you take away my relationship.
Right.
We wouldn't have a podcast right now.
Because the way I might be able to relate to you, I might not be able to relate to another woman in the church, mm-hmm. because I feel comfortable with my life as far as the things that have happened, and you can relate to me and you can teach me things and tell me things and point me to things that I may not feel comfortable talking with that other person about. But if it becomes a religious act of, oh, you can't associate with this person because you're a male and you're a female, it takes away from the opportunity that God has to use those people to grow the church.
Right. All right. And that's the, like, that's the biggest thing. Like we said, the religious and the religion, not religious, but the religion and the whole concept of what you can and cannot do dampens the ability for you to move, for me to move through you, you to move through someone else, because it's a standard.
And that can be manipulative.
Yeah.
Of the church itself. Like you're manipulating people into what you want the church to appear as, mm-hmm. versus what it should actually be.
What it really is.
Yeah. Like people are not meant to just come in here and do what you want them to do and make up what you want your church to be.
Right. Right. Like, I mean, I had a concept before. It was like the sheep. Like, we only can do what the shepherd is telling us to do. At the end of the day, like, we need to become our own shepherds. Like, we need to have, like, you cannot, I'm saying like too much. I can hear it. So forgive me to the listeners. But you have to be able to just look past that and look past the concept of the church religion and understand the Bible's structure,
yeah.
of what you're supposed to do. That's yeah. what I'm trying to say, because I was about to go left with that.
And I mean, we get that there are rules in place, and there are spoken and unspoken rules in place for a reason, to mm-hmm. keep people from being harmed and to protect the people that do come in the church. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we have to be mindful of how we present these things as the church to people, as to not make them feel like you have to be perfect, do no wrong, come in here sinless, when we all know we have our own sins. And like we said, the church is the place for the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Right.
So be mindful of what you're presenting to people and how you are putting these spoken and unspoken rules out there that will affect that person's opportunity to come to the church.
Right.
You can't think that, and I mean, it is also on that person to kind of be like, look, you can't put me in hell. Like,
yeah. There's no heaven or hell.
Right. Right.
You can put me in.
Right. But you also have the church has to be mindful of the way that we present to the people what church is.
Right.
And these religious acts that we have in place to quote unquote protect people.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's understand your domain. Like, understand where you can, like, as a church, you gotta use the Holy Spirit for one. But mm-hmm. it's like me personally, I can talk to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody have an amazing conversation or whatever, but Kim may not be able to do that. And so you got to understand where your place is. Like, if somebody come in and they don't, like, somebody will come in and you can't, like, communicate with them. So then you kind of, like, push them away or push them to the side instead of either connecting them to someone that can relate to them or mm-hmm. something in that other instance. Like, just know your place within this thing, because it's like, you can, as a church, you can push people away because you couldn't handle that person, so you turned right. your nose up, or right. you said something to that person, like we said before, you saying something to that person in a caring way, in a loving way, but the person doesn't, like, receive it,
right.
you know what I'm saying,
right.
because they don't they're like, I don't, the way you, your stance yeah. and everything, it doesn't, like, bind with me.
Not bind.
Yeah, well, bind or something. I don't know. Like, connect with me. But, like, I don't know. I guess I got a gift. I guess that's the gift God gave me where I can honestly talk to anybody, even though I kind of say I don't like people. But
I'm no, that's good because, in fact, like you were saying, you need to have discernment when you're talking to people.
Yes.
Because the way that you can talk to one person is not the way you can talk to all people. Like we were talking in the last episode in part one, Ari was talking about you have to first, I don't want to say fill out that person, but you have to first talk to that person, kind of get a small background or kind of to a certain extent test the waters to see, number one, if they're open and receptive to what you're about to say.
Yeah.
And right. Then two, try to figure out the best way that they can receive it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, let's be real. Sometimes God would tell us, go talk to this person, go tell this to this person. And you like, do you see how this person just snapped on her? Like,
yeah.
I like, you sure you want me to go talk to them? Because, Lord, you know me. You know I ain't all the way delivered from my little
right.
attitude.
Right.
But, again, I'm joking. No, I'm joking.
She ain't joking.
But am I?
Right, but am I? But for real, like, there are certain ways, and, like, people, and honestly, this day and age, it gets on my nerves sometimes, but at the same time, we have to be aware that some people are a little bit more sensitive than the other person, or than other people. Mm-hmm. So we have to take that into consideration when we are talking to people.
Yeah.
Because I'm one of the people, I'll talk to you if I don't know you. But don't try to get in my business.
Yeah.
If I present my business to you, then okay, we could talk.
Right.
But don't force your way right. into my life. That's a complete turnoff.
Don't try
whether
and pry
it be a
it
friend,
out of me.
A man, mm-hmm. whatever. Don't force your way into my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a major that's, thing.
Like we said, it's just a lot of imperfections. And the thing is, we need to basically speak up on it.
Yeah.
Like, you being in the church, you need to talk to someone. Like, if you feel these things are out of place in your church, like, I ain't trying to tell you rebel against your church, but
rebel.
But speak on it. Like, hey, tell them, like, look, this is what's pushing people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? This is what's pushing people away. Like, this is what we need to do. Like, speak up and say, hey, we're doing this wrong.
Right. Find somebody in leadership and, again, the way you talk to people, if you're going to do that, come correct.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Don't come. Well, first of all, I don't like, no. Yeah. Just come. And honestly, you depending on the size of your church, depending on just how the dynamics of your church is, you may not be able to talk directly to the pastor, but you can talk to somebody on the ministry team, which can relate that message or relate that topic to the pastor or whatever. So if you can't talk to the pastor, don't get discouraged. Understand. Just where he's at, he doesn't have the capacity to listen to you and understand. There's nothing wrong with that.
Mm.
There is nothing wrong with the pastor not being able to talk to you about certain things.
Yeah. Do churches have like suggestion boxes, anything like that?
They used to.
Some of them do.
I remember a church going to that had a suggestion box.
I feel like they need it. I mean.
But, I'm going to tell you, a lot of people don't have suggestion boxes. They have info at suchandsuchchurch.com.
Oh, yeah.
Right, that's the new way. We don't have the yellow cards anymore.
Right,
that too. But I think, like, sometimes the church needs feedback, too.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah, I agree. So let's take a turn for this. So let's talk about it from a biblical point of view. The Bible says, be perfect. Mm-hmm. Like, let me just read from it. Matthew 5:48. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. That can be taken a totally wrong way.
Out of context.
Yeah. Like, first of all, in the section, it's talking about loving your enemies. Mm-hmm. So what I love in my study Bible that I use is that it points it out from the perspective of being whole and mature. So, as a church, let's put it from that point of view, the church should be whole and mature. But nowhere in there is that perfection.
Right.
So if we try to define even what wholeness is, that does not mean that you're perfect. Yeah. That means that you're pointed towards a perfect God. You are working to become better.
Not lacking anything.
Right. Like, you're mature in how you handle things mm-hmm. that you've been through. You don't turn back to the things that you have gone through and say, well, if this is going to keep happening, then I'm just going to, you know, just let it be what it is.
Right.
It's moving forward. And as the church, we should be doing that for the people and showing them what that quote unquote perfection looks like as being mature and whole.
Yeah.
Not this, come in here, do it this way, say it this way, praise this way type of thing. Like the rules that the hidden rules on the wall that you want people to have. And it's just like, don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Like, perfect is so broad. Perfect can be anything. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, perfect for you may be different
exactly.
for me.
Exactly. I was just about to say that.
Like, you could, we both could look at a picture that's on the wall and you could be like, it's perfect. But I find some imperfections in it.
Or let's be real. No, for real, let's be real. I can look at it and be like, oh, that picture crooked. And you're right. Like, oh, it's up there perfect.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's from a different perspective.
Right.
So, like, you got to understand. Like, we put too much emphasis on a lot of words. Like, especially, mm-hmm. We put emphasis on love. We put mm-hmm. emphasis on perfection. Like, we put too much in. We overthink it.
Yeah. I like the way that the Message translation says it. And I mean, it just basically throws it in your face.
Listen,
I'm going to say this one because this one, it just throws it in your face. And it says, in a word, what I'm saying is grow up.
Grow up.
Your kingdom subjects, now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously towards others the way God lives towards you. If that don't slap you in the face and be like, come on, you're not perfect.
Right.
But you're pointed towards a perfect God. Mm-hmm. Grow up. Be mature. Yeah. Work out the things that you have done in your life so that you can be a representation of Christ. Like,
I don't forget this one. Live out your right. God. Create the way God yes. created your
you.
Identity.
You.
Your identity. Mm-hmm. Not anybody else's identity. Yours.
Mm-hmm.
That right there.
That's the biggest thing.
Word. We done.
Right. Drop mic.
Right.
Right, right. But then, like, the Bible also talks about grace and having righteousness. Like, nowhere in there did Jesus say, if you're coming to this church, you better have it all together.
Right.
Like, he was sent to show people you don't have to have it all together. God still loves you anyway. And these things that I'm doing right now for you, so know that you can still come to me. You can still come to God anyway, anyhow, and know that I still love you.
Right.
But if you put out there to people that you have to have this certain image as the church,
right,
you've turned people away.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I say read your Bible, because this is where I found a lot of imperfections in the word, like imperfections in people, not imperfections in the word. But it was like so many stories, like when Saul was killing Christians, like he literally was killing them, and somehow God turned his heart and he became Paul and he started saving people and writing many books in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had Jonah. Jonah was you're supposed to give the word of God.
If Jonah wasn't one of the worst of them, he was like, I ain't gonna do it.
But that's the thing. Like, I never knew this because I was always told the perfect side of Jonah. Like, as a kid growing up, I always knew Jonah was walking, swallowed by a whale, and spit mm-hmm. out and preached the word.
Right.
I wasn't taught that he was going against God. Like, God, I'm mm-hmm. not saving them. Like, mm-hmm. why should I say
literally
that?
Literally running from God.
You know right. what I'm saying? Like, I didn't know that part because I was given the illusion of perfection mm-hmm. within that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Peter. You know what I'm saying? Like, Peter was that hitter. You know, mm-hmm. like, but God still used him.
Mm-hmm.
And then the thing, and these is only a couple of people, but David, at all, like, you, man, David. But that's the thing, like, you got to understand, like, bruh, all the stuff David did.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
David was one of the worst.
But God loved him because he
and
was a man.
And his heart was pointed
towards God.
He always turned back to
him. He was bad, but God loved him. Mm-hmm. And God used him.
He went to God. There's literally the part of the Bible, he literally went into covenant with God. Like, God was like, even though.
Yeah.
Right.
I still love you. Even after all these things that you haven't known that you're going to do, but you're going to do. Mm-hmm. I'm still gonna love you.
There's so many times where it was. I can't not remember that scripture, but I think it's in Psalms, or it might be in Psalms. Don't, like, Bible scholars do not come at me. But it was like one on with David.
We're not perfect.
Yeah, like David was like, yo, he was telling God, like, how you not, like, punish them?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, that's a song. Mm-hmm. That's a song.
He's sitting there like, how you not gonna punish? Like, help me see what you see.
Because
like,
basically, like, do you see this?
Right? Do you see this? Like, let me go kill them. You know what I'm saying? Let me go do my thing mm-hmm. for you. But God, like, nah. Like, you chill out. Yeah, I'm changing mm-hmm. you. I'm turning you for the good. I'ma use you. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's what you gotta realize. Like, even through your imperfections, even through your falls or your everything that you go through, honestly, is gonna help the next person. It's not mm-hmm. it's not wasted. Like, even if you think, oh, okay, I lost my job, or I'm never achieving at anything. I'm not doing this. But at the end of the day, you're gonna overcome it.
Right.
And so when you overcome it, you have a story to tell.
Right.
So then you see that next person that's going through something, maybe going through college, a bad marriage, or bankruptcy. You know what I'm saying? Like, anything that you have went through, you can pass on to the next person and say, hey, I've been there.
Absolutely.
And let me give you what I did to move forward. So don't take your losses as a loss. Like, it's not a loss. It's just a learning lesson.
And that's the thing. It's always learning. Nothing is wasted.
Right.
Nothing's wasted.
Right.
But we're talking about perfection, and somebody is questioning still, like, but what if I'm not perfect? Understand, in the midst of it, even in the worst, God still loves you. If you believe God, or if you believe in God, if you trust in God, if Jesus is your savior, then God still loves you. God, he has given you grace. You don't have to be stuck with guilt or condemnation, and God will still use you even in the midst of your sin. Your sin does not take away your anointing. It may hinder it, it may pause it, but it will not take away your anointing. But understand, because we said this, don't use that as an excuse to sin.
Right.
Please don't use it as an excuse an excuse to sin, because that's not what we're saying.
I definitely ain't tell you that.
Right.
I ain't tell you that. You ain't putting that on my book when I go to
right
heaven.
Don't come back. Right. Well, they said right. No, I didn't.
Let's make it clear. But one thing in regards to that, it was said to me that when you, and actually we actually talked about this in one of the earlier episodes, at in regards to when you are following Christ and when you're trying to build a relationship with Christ, a lot of the old things that you do, you turn away from it because you're trying to, like, when you're looking towards God, you're not necessarily looking towards the stuff that you used to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're...
It starts to fall away. It's one of those things where you don't force it to fall off. It falls off on its own.
Because now that you're in... You're looking towards new things will come to you.
Your mind and is transformed.
What is that? I think it's in 2 Corinthians. Somewhere in 2 Corinthians, it says, when I was a child, I thought as a child. Mm-hmm. But when I became a man, I put away childish things.
Mm-hmm.
So as you grow, and not necessarily just in general age, but as you grow spiritually, mature, the things that you used to do, the things that you used to have a taste for, like the alcohol, the drugs, the women, men, whatever,
mm-hmm.
you don't necessarily have a taste for that anymore, because you now you're on a different path.
You outgrew it.
You're satisfied right. without it.
Right. And it's about what we do after our sin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we, do we repent? Do we just say, oh, it's just another day? No. Like, we need to repent. And when we repent, the purpose of repent is not just saying, okay, God, I'm sorry, and you go do it again.
Yeah.
That's not repentance. Repentance is asking God for forgiveness and turning away.
Yeah.
So I think something that we definitely should, the things that we definitely need to kind of bring up and make sure as the church that we aren't doing these things and turning people away from Christ and attending church is be aware of the manipulative manners of the members of the church.
Yes.
And making sure that you aren't like giving people a religious load to carry and hiding that behind saying that you're trying to keep them from sin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another big one. We're gonna go into that, but before we go into our next part of the podcast, I do want to say, like, with the repentance thing, like piggybacking off of Kim, like, to me, repentance is giving you the ability, the opportunity to see where you're doing wrong or what you're doing wrong. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, when you repent, you're like, dang, I did that wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you never express what you've done wrong, you're never going to try and fix
it.
That's
good.
So I'm telling you, woo! Sha-na-na. But that's one of the things, like, at the end of the day, like, you got to understand the whole, to me, I want to say to me, and Bible scholars come at it, but the Bible is about changing your mindset. It's changing your ability to think. And so you start to change your ability to think. You start to say, okay, I can fix myself. But with God, you know what I'm saying? Like, every time you talk to God, it's giving you an ability to basically reevaluate yourself because you're talking out your problems. So that's what you got to understand. Like, so, because I know when people used to tell me repent, I'm like, huh? Like, what? But to me, repentance is basically saying to yourself what you've done wrong. To you and God. And letting God say, okay, now fix it. So I said that. I had to get that out of the way. And then, too, like, don't. And God gave us grace. God gave us the ability to mess up. Just like my daughter. I give my daughter the ability to mess up. But she can. Hey, don't. That I don't want her to overdo it. Like, she needs to know, like, nah, if daddy say do this, like, this is what you do, and that's it. But at the end of the day, I realize she's a child. She has to grow up.
Right, and she's learning.
She's
learning all this.
And so God notices that, too. Like, we're growing within him. So God gives us the grace, but just don't take advantage of the grace.
Don't say,
okay, well, I'm going to heaven, or I'm doing this, like, so I can do whatever. Nah, like, you still have to do right, but you have to do right within the realms of what God wants you to do. And that's a big thing. So within this whole podcast, we got probably a lot of X's and crosses. Probably a lot. I think I know one thing. Well, you know, matter of fact, we're going to go back. I got some more stuff. Look, Holy Spirit downloading.
But the
thing is, it's like trying to figure out within yourself with your ability of being perfect. Like, what is your perfection? Not someone else's. Like, just meditate on that. Like, what is my perfection? Not the person, not the other person at my job that's doing amazing things, not the person that's doing this, but what is your perfection? What is God perfecting me to do?
Yeah.
So, okay, now can I go to We'll get that.
All right, I'm good. Hold on. Before we go into that, maybe make sure we tie this back into the church and their responsibility versus your responsibility, because it is your responsibility as far as what your identity is, as far as perfect and being whole and mature. But the church also has a responsibility to its people, and we don't want that to get turned into a, like I said before, manipulative thing in which people are thinking that they have to be a certain way because of what the church puts on them. So, like we said before, we're a long way away from you know, Leviticus and right. what the that way right the way that we initially presumed how we're supposed to be as far as religious acts towards God to show that we are being obedient to who he is. So as the church, we need to get that out of our mindset that we have to do these certain things in a certain way mm-hmm. in order to be in relationship with God. But then also we have to take it upon ourselves as members of the church to make sure that we're under a church that is biblically driven versus pastor right. driven right. and not do things that are according to what the pastor says and not according to what the Bible says. Like you said, read your Bible.
Yeah,
it's important that you read your Bible and know that what they're saying is right. Test the fruit.
I think that's a perfect X and cross right there. Like, honestly, like, you covered a whole lot in that. And so that's one thing, like, but let's take this stuff to social media, man. Like, I know a lot of you guys have questions, like, y'all need to start commenting. Like, I'm going to start coming at you. But that's one of the things, like, I'm going to come for them. But the thing is, like, get these questions out there. Ask us questions. Like, maybe we can help you out with some things. Now that you listen to, like, the both parts of it, like, the actual person of the church, like, the Christians of the church, and then the church, where it has went wrong. Like, tell us how the church has went wrong in your life. You know what I'm saying? Like, tell us what the things that you want to see differently in church. And you can always hit us up on Facebook, which at Relationship X Religion, and you can hit us up on Instagram at Relationship X Religion.
Yeah, guys. So just, you know, recap this whole entire thing about the misconceptions of perfection as it relates to the people and the church. Yes, the church has a responsibility from the pastor down to make sure that we are pointed towards the word and not towards what we want to see as perfection and how we want people to be perceived as perfection. We can't assume that the people who are coming have it all together, which we all know that, because we all have sin, we all have issues, we all have things that we're going through. But we can't make people come in the church and think that because they do these religious acts that they're good and that this is what it's about. And it's not. It's about our heart being pointed towards God, who is perfect, and our perfection is being mature and whole, not being doing and everything right and getting it right every time, or else we would all be losing because we all don't have it together. And that's a day-to-day basis, which is why new mercies are given every day. So when it comes to the church, we have to check ourselves and make sure that we're not giving this idea of what perfection is to the people who are trying to be a part of the church, who are new to the church, who are thinking about coming to someone's church and maybe joining. Be careful what you present to them, because it could turn them away. And then us as Christians, we need to take it upon ourselves to get this idea out of our head of what we think it is to be perfect. How we dress, how we talk, our sins, getting past those things, and not becoming this perfect person, because you can only be as perfect as humanly possible. And we're all human, so we all know we're going to make mistakes.
And that's okay.
Right. And understanding that your relationship with God isn't going to look like somebody else's relationship with God. So what may be perfect to you is not going to be perfect to somebody else. So,
as we always say, we want you to be persuaded by religion, but fully convinced by the relationship with God. And this is Relationship X Religion Podcast.